You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Late summer is when we get those unwelcome blooms of cyanobacteria on Western Lake Erie. But right now, spring, that's when the blooms are set up by a sort of equation. Here you go. Fertilizer plus spring rain equals phosphorus loading, which leads to those late summer algal blooms. Nate Manning is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Michigan's Graham Sustainability Institute. Nate, let's start with the basics. Algal blooms. What's in them and what causes them?
Well, in the western basin of Lake Erie, which is what we really focus on in this area, it's a blue-green algae. It's called Microcystis. There are several different species of blue-green algae, but in the western basin, it's Microcystis that we're focused on.
And is that a type of cyanobacteria?
Yeah, blue-green algae, cyanobacteria.
Yeah. It's made of this cyanobacteria. What causes this to bloom and turn the water into what it does?
Yeah, so these algae are really, really good at using phosphorus, at extracting nutrients out of the water, and they grow extremely rapidly, much faster than, the green algae and the diatoms that, we would like to see. And the other thing is that they're, it's called a mat-forming or a floating algae, and so they float on the surface, and they can block a lot of the sunlight from getting deeper into the water, and that prevents other algae, from using that sunlight.
The kind we want.
Yeah.
Okay. So most of us, I think it's safe to say, start paying attention to these blooms of cyanobacteria when the western portion of Lake Erie turns pea green, gets smelly. We've seen green water coming out of taps at times in Toledo, and which tends to be August, late summer when it's been warm. But these months, right, April, May, June, are crucial to these late summer blooms.
Yeah. These are really the months that set up those blooms. It's the rain in April and May that washes a lot of this phosphorus out into the lake, mostly through the Maumee River. The Maumee watershed is the largest watershed in the Great Lakes. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of 17,000 square kilometers, and most of that is agricultural, soybeans and corn mostly. And so there's a lot of fertilizer that's coming off of those fields. Mm-hmm. And gets out into the lake and drives these blooms.
So in other words, are you telling us phosphorus applied to fields, let's say, in eastern Indiana can wind up washing into the western Lake Erie Basin?
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to say it comes from a specific farm or specific right.
The size of this is clearly this Maumee River watershed is impressive.
Right.
And so that's really where this phosphorus is coming into the lake.
Yeah. The Maumee only provides somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of the water that's entering Lake Erie, but more than half of the nutrients that enter the lake. And so it's very concentrated when it comes out of the Maumee River.
So how's the water flow looking this season?
For the most part, we're slightly above the long-term average for discharge, but not significantly higher. We have had a few spikes. From what I saw, really only one point in the last several months that reached flood stage in the Maumee. So high, but not as high as we've seen in the past.
And high means more?
More, yes.
Okay. Sir. Should we have any hope that this extended cold weather that's been pushing into April might have any effect in ameliorating the nutrient loads? You're making a face. You're wincing.
So these blooms are driven by a couple of things. Obviously, the phosphorus and the nitrogen and the nutrient loading that we get now. Mm. But then they're also driven by warm temperatures later in the year. We haven't seen real good evidence that cold temperatures in April and May suppress the bloom in August and September.
But a cool summer would.
But a cool summer would.
A cool summer would. And I think some of us would like a cool summer just because we prefer that.
Yeah.
All right. So you work, Nate, on a forecasting model used by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to make its annual harmful algal bloom prediction by July. So what goes into your model?
It's called a Bayesian model. So it's a statistical method that uses previous year's information to try and make predictions. We mostly, right now, it's built using the flow of the Maumee River and the phosphorus loading, so the amount of phosphorus. In our case, we're using what's called bioavailable phosphorus as opposed to total phosphorus.
Okay, and bioavailable meaning?
It's a form of phosphorus that's much more readily used by organisms in the lake as opposed to, phosphorus that's bound to, soil particles and that sort of thing that settles out into the bottom.
As we talk now in April, is it too early to have any gut sense as to what we might predict in terms of algal blooms later in the summer?
You know, we're starting to think about that. You know, we use really the April, May, and June loading data. If the trends that we're seeing here in April continue with sort of, you know, higher levels, you know, above average loading, above average flow, then we would predict, you know, a larger bloom. But, you know, we need to see what the next few months look like before we can really say.
So when we talk about these blooms of cyanobacteria, some years they're toxic and some years they're not?
Yeah, especially, you know, how toxic they are. And a lot of that seems to be tied to the nitrogen in the system. The microcystis produces a toxin called microcystin that gets released when the cells are broken, essentially, which was the problem in Toledo when it went through, you know, these cells went through the water treatment plant and got broken open and released the toxin into the water system. Yeah, some years, you know, it's green and it smells, but it's not toxic. And other years, it kills people's dogs.
Can you predict that in your modeling?
There are people that are working on predictions for toxicity right now, and that's really one of the main focuses of research sort of across this region right now.
But toxic or not, no one wants the blooms. No one wants green scum on the waters of Lake Erie.
No, toxic or not, it's still, you know, an ecological problem. It still affects fish and the people that depend on the lake for their livelihoods.
What do you like most about this branch of science that you've chosen?
I grew up near Lake Erie. Basically, my whole life has been influenced by the Great Lakes. And so the ability to have the opportunity to try and save this really, really important resource is really important to me. Lake Erie is one of the most productive aquatic systems in the entire world. You know, there's more fish in Lake Erie than in all of the other Great Lakes combined. And so we need to be able to protect that resource. But we also have to balance that with being able to protect the needs of, you know, the people that live in the region. Like farmers. You have to grow food, feed the animals, everything. And so it's a balancing act. And it's really interesting. And I really enjoy sort of trying to figure out sort of the nuances of that.
How worried are you about the future of Lake Erie?
I'm worried. And I think a lot of people are. One of the things that we're seeing is a sensitization of Lake Erie to the phosphorus input. So less input, less phosphorus is leading to larger blooms than we would normally predict. We're not sure why yet. You know, we're still trying to figure that out. It's been in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years that this has really come up. And so that's really concerning. There is a lot of hope out there, and there's some really good bright spots, particularly the agricultural community has responded really well. And I think they understand their role in this and the need for action on their part. People aren't out to get them. You know, we're trying to work together here. And so, you know, there's concern moving forward, but I think that there's a lot of people doing really good work. There's hope.
Nate Manning is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Michigan's Graham Sustainability Institute. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us.
Thank you.